Are y'all having a good con? Yeah. All right.
All right. We are going to hear our esteemed panelists. My name is Deva. I was the mom for Bob.com. I now started a new site called MomToCom at Mamba.com. Two-thirds Mondo, one-third everything else at Thomas Eric. To my right here. And then my left is Bridget Alverson. Bridget writes for Mamba, Publishers Weekly, MTV Geek, GoodEatReader.com.
Robot 6.
CBR.
Beginning your first pass after me.
She earns her living that. This is David Brothers. David Brothers writes for Fourth Letter. He was formerly Comics Alliance. He is also now the content manager for Image Comics. But that doesn't stop him from having great opinions about Mamba. So, we love him on. Christopher Butcher is a raconteur, comics guy, all-around fabulousness. He is a retailer. He is the manager for The Big Island, which is Toronto's best comic book store, which if you're ever in town, please go visit his staff because they have an amazing collection of comics. He also runs the Toronto Comic Art Festival, which is every May, and if you ever have the opportunity to go there, that is my bar none favorite comic show. I mean, no offense, because I didn't comment on your number two. TCAP is number one, because it has wonderful artists, including many Japanese manga artists. Chris also travels to Japan quite frequently, and he writes a blog called Comics to Mutunda. We also, at our far end, is Shayna Garrity. Shayna Garrity is also a bit of an all-around manga person. She's a manga editor. She's edited several titles, including, which ones, Shayna?
I have worked on Naruto, One Piece, Case Closed, any number of titles at this point. I'm doing manga translation for about 10 years.
So all the stuff that's going to be on the worst list?
Everything. Actually, I know it's on the worst list, and actually I don't think I've worked on anything on the worst list. But I haven't worked on any of the best lists either, so, you know, I just want to see about mediocrity.
Shannon also writes for Comixology and for the Comics Journal, and she knows a hell of a lot about manga. So, please. All right. The rule. I'm going to try and do it with like 1 or 2 minutes each, okay? So keep up with
this. Okay.
All right, here we go. Best new manga for kids and teens. First one up, One Punch Man.
All right, this is me.
This is yours.
All right, so I grew up on superheroes like Jim Lee, X-Men, Todd McFarlane, Spider-Man. That was my first comics, and they're still, I rarely read them now, but they're still very close to my heart. And this is a superhero comic by some guy who's clearly a huge fan of superheroes, but he's also an even better comedian than he is fan. One Punch Man is basically one joke, which is that this guy here, Saitama, he punches something once, it's done. Knockout on sight. He wanted to be a hero. Like he also loves the idea of you know wearing a cape and like getting acclaim, but he trained too hard and now he has no challenge. And he dreams about getting beaten up and like you know having a really glorious battle, fighting to the death and you know surviving. But then he just meets stronger and stronger guys and they all go down in one punch. It's wonderful. The art's amazing. It's by Yusuke Murata, who did Eyeshield 21, I believe.
Yeah.
Very and it's, funny, underrated manga.
Yeah. It honestly moves everything forward as far as comics art goes, in my opinion. It feels almost like a cartoon, the way the panels, the transitions from panel to panel. They do a lot of... The latest issue, I think last week's, it was just spreads of this guy coming to Earth. And, like, no jokes, no dialogue, just, like, coming from outer space, then the atmosphere, then skyscrapers, then the ground. And that was the end of the chapter. It doesn't sound exciting, but once you get into the comic, it's the perfect thing, because it's building tension for the next storyline. So, definitely my favorite new comic for kids and teens.
All right, next one. Kitaro. Chris.
Is it me?
Yes, it is.
Oh, all right.
I think that's both of us.
Yeah, Shane, you go.
Go ahead.
Man, okay. I love Shigeru Mizuki, and Mizuki has gone untranslated for a long time. He's one of the great classic artists, and now we're starting to get a bunch of Mizuki manga in translation, and it's all great. His manga, Nanonba, which is a sort of semi-autobiographical manga about how he got really into monsters, is already out, and you should read it. And this is his title he's best known for in Japan, is classic.
It's like a cultural phenomenon in Japan. Yes.
One of the big ones. And it is basically a manga about a little boy who lives in a cemetery. And he, as you can see, has one eye. His other eye is his father. And every storyline involves him coming up against a different yokai, which is sort of a catch-all term for monsters and spirits and stuff. A lot of them are based on traditional Japanese spirits, many of which is really weird, and then some of them are based on, Godzilla or any kind of monster that Mizuki feels like drawing at any time.
How many of you guys have read Drifting Classroom? Show of hands. So, if you haven't read it, it's amazing. It's my favorite kids manga because it ran in a kids magazine, and here it's published with an 18 plus sticker on it because kids manga in the 70s and 60s are crazy.
Awesome.
This is in that tradition of like, this is for children? Are you serious? A lot of people get sent to hell in the first volume. Forever. It's scary as hell. Kitaro, it's down at the Drana Quarterly booth. 1629, definitely worth your time and money. It's debuting at Comic-Con, actually.
Attack on Titan. Sounds like a lot of you know this one. This one is, I have a lot of mixed feelings about, but I can't deny that it's utterly compelling. It's just so, I read a ton of manga. This one, I don't know where the hell it's going. It's basically about the future past where, like, humanity has largely been eaten by the giants. And they're all, like, living in this walled city. And then everything's going hunky-dory because the walls are way, way taller than the giants. And all of a sudden, a giant comes that's way bigger than the wall.
A giant.
A super giant. It starts eating people. And it's, like, just grabbing them, snapping them off. Like chicken wings and stuff. It's intense.
One guy sees his mom get eaten in front of him, and it's terrible. But at the same time, you're like, I really need to keep on with this.
I just can't stop reading, but it's at the same time. But there's an art major in me that like wants to mark it up with a red pen because the anatomy drawing is so bad. But I think it's one of those cases where I think that the anime really redeems it and really makes the action come to life. So we've noticed like a lot of people turned on to this manga after the anime came out, which is very compelling. So do give it a chance. I think it's worth reading. It's, if you've been reading manga and thinking, oh my god, I can see this plot twist kind of my way, this one was kind of surprising. All right, next one. Bridget.
This is a teen manga, and it's by Keiko Tsunobu, who did a manga for Tokyo Pop many years ago called Life, which is about cutting. And so she doesn't shy away from issues. It is a high school comedy about teenage girls, and it's about bullying and cliques. And I have to say, if I lived in Japan, I would never let my child go on a school trip. Because in manga, they always end badly. And in this particular case, their bus goes over a cliff. And it starts out with some beautiful imagery, and you really get the characters right away. The characters are established very clearly. There's the clique of the mean girls. There's the pretty girl who goes along with them. There's the quirky girl who does the right thing, which drives everybody crazy. And then there's the like, girl who's bullied. And so we get all that. And there's also some beautiful imagery of goldfish swimming, which is kind of like a little signal about going with the flow. And then the bus goes over a cliff. And there's five of them left. And they have to survive. And the one with the power is the bullied girl. So, it's a little bit Lord of the Flies, but honestly, it's smarter. It takes a lot of the schoolgirl tropes and kind of turns them on their head. It's a very intense manga. But I think when you come right down to it, teenagers like that kind of thing. So I would say, this is, it's fine. It's intense, but for an older teen, it would be great. And also, beautifully drawn and beautifully produced.
Right, next one. Heart of Thomas. I think this is Sheamus.
This is like everybody's greatest manga. I've been waiting a long time for this one to get translated. I was not disappointed. Motohagyo was one of the classic shoujo artists of the 1970s, and this is one of the series that she's most famous for. And fortunately, the editor at Fantagraphics, Matt Thorne, is a giant Motohagyo fan that's pushing hard for her work to get published. So they've already done the short story collection, A Drunken Dream, a couple years ago, and this year it's Heart of Thomas is out, which is one of the original sort of boys' love manga, but is much better than almost any boys' love manga that's come out since then. I just love it very much. It's very beautiful. beautiful. Yes.
Next one, Unico. Chris, you want to talk to this one?
I like Unico.
I actually think I didn't like the story. It didn't do anything for me at all. In fact, it was weird. But the artwork is some of the nicest Tezuka artwork that there is, as far as I can tell. The coloring is unlike any kind of coloring that we have here. I don't know what's going on with that book, but it doesn't look like anything else. And purely from an art perspective, it's one of the most interesting, interestingly printed, interestingly drawn, interestingly told stories, even if the stories themselves are... I don't love as much as I love other Tezuka. But just for the art alone, definitely flip through this one. It's really going to catch your eye, and it's really something special.
And it's a rare color manga. There was a period when this was made that it was fairly common for shoujo manga to be published in color, and that didn't last very long. But it is beautifully colored.
Yeah.
It's lovely looking.
I mean, it's about a little unicorn who is befriended by, I think, Psyche?
Yes.
And then Venus gets jealous and decides to take away the unicorn and throw him in different points in time. And then he helps people out, and then as soon as he gets attached to someone, he gets plucked out of that world and put in another world. So anywhere from space to, like, Western worlds. It's a really strange little sad novel, but it's really beautiful.
He's always hoping that the next leap will be the leap home.
Yeah, if you can at all understand the premise of the goddess Venus becoming irrationally jealous of a baby unicorn because it's too cute, then you can enjoy it.
Yeah.
Go to it, man. All right, we're getting into the continuing manga series, the ones that are continuing to be worth reading.
Oh, I'm up again.
I see a Luffy cosplayer back there. Are there any other One Piece cosplayers in the room? Just you? All right, well, you're representing for the entire fandom right now. It's most of what I read are, like, comics where people smoke cigarettes and shoot other people, because, like, that's what I'm into, movies, comics, music, whatever. One Piece is the exception because it's just amazing. Oda is an artist who... even when he's drawing ridiculous things, like this guy on the cover, he's made of gas. He turns into gas and, like, poisons people, and no one's like, well, it's kind of gross for breathing this guy in, but, you know, whatever. It just works. It makes sense. It's exciting. It's another one that's just super cartoony. The power of friendship is the driving force of the series. The bad guys almost always end up being friends with the good guys by the end of everything.
Except for the really bad guys.
Yeah.
And then they get taken down so good.
Yeah, it's so satisfying. I have a short anecdote, which hopefully I won't get the bell if I can tell this fast enough. There's one story arc where you're introduced to this guy, King Waffle. And, like, he's only in the book for, like, maybe 15 pages before he goes to, like, a 60-page flashback. And the entire flashback is just to make the point on page 61 when Luffy punches him in the face immediately after meeting him. Very, very satisfying. And it works. Like, he's just he's a jerk to children, to, like, princesses, to his citizens. So you meet him, you get the gist of it, and then he's done. And it's perfect. Like, it's the one comic that I would say is my favorite, like, above any others. Just because every time I read it, even when it's not as good as it usually is, it's still, like, heads and shoulders above everything else.
I was actually on this panel with David last year, and I just skipped One Piece. It's like, it's just another shonen series. I know, I'm sorry. But you were so effusive about this.
Yeah.
I don't know if I told you this. I've actually shotgunned, like, 40 volumes of it over the last year. And it is amazing. And I have to stop myself, because eventually I'm going to catch up, and then the agony begins. I'm waiting, like, 3 months for, or 3 to 6 months for a volume. So, yeah, it's awesome. Thank you. Thank you for turning me on to that. It was really good.
Talking about, like, great artwork, this is, like, Oda has a really unique art style that develops in crazy directions over the course of the series. It gets to into this, like, Peter Max looking, rubbery, psychedelic artwork, and I mean, Shonen Jump manga are formulaic to a degree. They've all got to have the friendship, effort, and victory, and they're all action stories. And often what distinguishes a great Shonen Jump manga is the artwork, and this is, like, awesome.
So, you know, one thing, I'm going to take a little break. One thing I'll note here is that on each slide, there is the booth number where you can purchase this manga. And if it's available in digital, I do make a note of that. So I'll take notes. Next one, Blue Exorcist. This one's mine. I really love this series. Beautifully drawn. It was really funny. Today I was on the Shonen Jump panel, and they were saying, it kind of veers wildly between moods. Like, it's like, oh no,
demons are cutting through the Hellgate and we're all doomed. And then veers off into, oh, who am I going to take to the dance tonight? But it's all beautifully drawn, and it's just like about twin brothers who are basically both half human, half the son of Satan. One has the powers of being a demon, but he decides he wants to fight Satan and become an exorcist. And they go to a school that's kind of like Harry Potter, like a school for exorcists. It's kind of hard to, I really find this hard to explain, but I just find it so compelling because it has action and has drama and has relationships, and it's beautifully, beautifully drawn. If you don't already read it, I highly encourage you to check it out.
Yeah, I think it's because teen drama is so much better than like adult drama because it's more pure.
Yeah.
Like adult feelings are really complicated, where like you can love and hate things, but like when I was a teenager, if I loved something, I was obnoxious about it. And it comes through in this book. I mean, it really works.
All right, Cross Game.
All I did last year was talk about how good Cross Game was on the new manga for teens thing, and so hopefully you all went out and read it after that, if you were on this panel. Cross Game is the perfect manga, full stop. Go
no,
buy
that's
it.
True.
No, it's... So Mitsuru Adachi is the sort of the senpai to Rumiko Takahashi. He's been in the industry for a really long time, and... He's basically, Cross Game is just him, as far as I can tell, working at the absolute top of his game. Just like you were saying with One Punch Man, where, you know, that guy did Eye Shield and he's been doing manga forever, he's gotten to this point where he's refined his style so that it just feels like you're effortlessly moving through the page. Adachi's a master at that. And whether that's just a single silent panel of an abandoned school, you feel like you're there every time. Even in a regular black and white manga, even the color manga pages that they printed in black and white still look good because he's that good. It is a love story. It is really unexpected. They throw a twist at you in that first volume that will just break your heart.
It's like the first chapter.
No, it's the end of the first volume because it's the first one's a triple volume. It's really thick. It's 8 volumes and they're all double volumes. Viz really just wanted to make sure that this was out there because it's so good. If you like teen romance, if you like, again, really pure feelings that are, they're just at that point where their feelings are starting to be more complicated and starting to be more nuanced, and yeah, everything about it is perfect. The art is perfect, the storytelling is perfect, the story is perfect. Okay, it's about baseball, and I could give 2 Fs about baseball. Seriously, it is. I still read like 1,400 pages of manga about baseball games and loved every minute of it. And I've never actually I guess I was like a kid once. Anyway, Cross Game is seriously available digitally, and it's an amazing way to read it, just because you'll want to zoom in on the panels and stuff. Get it.
All right, Wandering Sun.
I love Wandering Sun. Okay, so this is one of the many great manga coming out from Fantagraphics right now. Basically, I mean, I don't think you could go wrong picking up any manga Fantagraphics is putting out at the moment.
That's true.
But Wandering Sun is really sweet, sort of coming-of-age story about kids who are in early middle school around the time the manga starts, and then it continues their lives through that. The hook is that the two main characters are both transgender. One of them is male to female, and the other is female to male. And they basically sort of figure out this about each other and sort of help each other experiment with their identities and transition together. What I really like about it is this is treated in a really natural, down-to-earth way. And the continuing theme of the manga is that the characters, I mean, these two characters and their gender identity is really just part of this whole period of growing up when everyone is trying to figure out who they are and experiment with different identities. And it's just very casual. It's really good. Manga has this whole genre of manga that was sort of nostalgic stories of school and friends and coming of age. And this is one of the best ones I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
It actually, this was the book that opened my eyes to the trans experience and issues, because I knew of it. I think I said this last time I was on this panel, but I never paid attention the way I should have. But I read this, and I suddenly had to talk to friends I had to understand better. So, and it's not preachy; it's just really good.
Yeah.
After school charisma.
Richard, you've got all the edgiest stuff for the teens. Last year you had the one you're like, I don't want my daughter reading it, but I wouldn't be okay. I would be okay if someone else's daughter read it. Every time. This is but, I love the series.
I thought about an adult or a children's series, and in a way it's both, but it is set in a high school and everybody's teenagers, so I feel a little weird recommending it as an adult series, but you should not feel weird reading it as an adult, because it's actually quite smart. The basic premise is that it's a school for clones of famous people from history. So if you can imagine...
This is Sigmund Freud, for example.
Yeah, that's Freud. If you can imagine Freud as a high school boy in the swimming pool with Florence Nightingale, and also Jung, by the way, Queen Elizabeth, Joan of Arc, they're all kind of in there. So obviously, yeah, Hitler, like, who calls Hitler? But it's great, it's smart, and it's funny. Obviously, the more you know about the people, the funnier it's going to be, and the references back to them, and at the same time, it's a teenage story. And it's well drawn, like there's basically nothing, and there's a certain amount of reflectiveness too about the meaning of life and what is a clone, and you know, at one point a character who's not a clone gets cloned and it freaks him out. So there's a lot to be said for it. It's a high school story that won't make you want to slit your wrists.
And so that's the manga for grown-ups.
Sunny. This is me, right?
Yes,
okay.
It is, of course.
I had the pleasure of welcoming Taiyo Matsumoto to Toronto a couple months ago, and we sat down and talked about Sunny, and he's like, my wife told me not to tell anybody that it's based on me, but I'm going to tell you. And I'm like, oh, okay, so I'll just let that go. And then it showed up in the newspaper the next week because someone else wheedled it out of him as well, so I felt better about that. There's not a lot of autobiography in manga. There's sort of a there's not a lot of autobiography in Japanese literature. It sort of goes between like hyper-confessional novels and sort of, you know, names smudged out kind of stuff, like Tatsumi's work that's been translated, even Mizuki's work to a degree.
Yeah.
And this is about kids that are living in an orphanage whose parents have had to leave them there for one reason or another. And as the series goes in sort of short little snippets, you find out more about their lives and why they're there and how they interact with each other. It has a really melancholy sweetness to it. It's definitely not, you know, all sadness all the time, but it's definitely not like a Shonen Jump version of an orphanage story where the orphan is going to end up beating up everyone in the world. It's amazing. It's done in a beautiful hardcover format with all the color pages intact, and the paintings that he's done are beautiful. The art style is really fantastic, and I was actually I was going to pick this as a single one, and I didn't. And it's because the first book is really good, but the series grows into something after the first book that it isn't right now, and it just keeps getting better and better and better, and the story gets bigger, and the picture of this world is bigger. It's absolutely necessary, and it's available digitally. You can get it right now while you're sitting in the room. Right now.
It's also available on digital too, but I encourage you to get the hardcover.
Yeah, the hardcover's nice.
All right, Danza, and that's me.
Oh,
honestly. So I'm a huge Natsumi Ono fan, so I'll always pick the book by default. And I'll say right now, this is one of her earlier books, so the art isn't kind of, you know, Natsumi Ono, she had this older, kind of very loose, kind of loopy style, which I like less than her more refined style, and it looks like House of Five Days. Nonetheless, this is a collection of short stories, and the short stories are so imaginative, and the characters are so real. I've read some of her other collections of short stories, and I have to say this is the best she takes on. They're the kind of stories that you tell people about. Like, I just read a story, and it's by a guy, you know, who's traveled through time, and you know, or like there's this Japanese woman, and she's married to this German guy, and her father hates her husband, and how these things get resolved. So it's a nice book. The style, like I said, is a little bit loose for my taste, but I think that Ono is such a great storyteller. This is definitely my pick for the best book, best adult manga of the year.
And the funniest thing is, I actually love her older style more than I love her House of Five Leaves style, because it's so idiosyncratic. When she started doing this, no one drew like her, and she was so influential that now when you go and look at Boys Love magazines, where she sort of got her start, there's a lot of people, you know, following that path. She's wonderful. I just keep getting dinged. It's fine.
All right, Strange Tale of Panorama Island by Sui Ramon. This is a single volume. It's at the last guest book. Here at the show. I had this on my most wanted list
most anticipated this for 2 years. They delayed it over and over and over again. And now that it's finally out, I highly encourage you to check it out. Edokawa Rampo is basically the Japan's version of Edgar Allan Poe. Is this story, is it complete or
not? His pen name is taken from Edgar Allan Poe.
Exactly. So it's set in, I guess, Taisho era, turn of the century. It's about an author, a failed author, who discovers that his classmate, who looks like him, who is very, very rich, has died. So he decides to take his identity. He pretends to, he digs up his classmate's grave, discovers that he's missing one tooth, so he pulls out his own tooth.
Yeah.
And he basically shows up at his old classmate's house, presenting himself as that person come back to life. He then proceeds to use all the riches of that family to create an island of utter decadence. And we're talking NC-17 decadence. So if you're a kid, don't pick this up. It is nasty. But it is beautifully, beautifully drawn. So Maru Suriko is full of those kind of contradictions. Please check it out. I don't want to spoil it.
That's the craziest summary I've ever heard.
Yeah, it's the craziest story you've ever seen. It is nothing but my, the story is nothing but my manga standards, and the artwork is spectacular. Like, it's gorgeous and perfectly suitable to the story.
And if you read Maro's other work, you go, oh my god, this stuff is so intense, so dark, so uji. This is actually not as uji. It's really elegant, actually. Okay, Tokyo Love.
Oh.
This is actually a reprint of, it's been published in English before, but the previous edition is long out of print, and it is, now available as in digital format, thanks to Yurikon Publishing, which also published the previous version. And I'm hoping that this edition will get this title the attention it deserves, because it's really good. It's an autobiographical manga, which is, again, unusual. And it's basically based on the author's experiences as like a young and out lesbian in Tokyo. So it's... it's very sweet and very cheerful, as you can tell from the artworks. This is like the cutest lesbians of all lesbian autobiography of all time. But it also gives an interesting little glimpse into a culture that is not often seen in manga. I mean, there's plenty of manga that have, you know, gay characters or whatever, but it's seldom, you seldom see a realistic depiction of what it's like to be gay in Japan, in like modern Japan. And yeah, she talks a lot about the gay scene, and it's super cute, and it's awesome. So, yeah, you can, as with other titles, just get it online right now, so do it.
Okay. Utsubora. This is also another one volume. Isn't that the vertical boot? It's very similar to Panorama Island, in that it's about a famous author who has kind of like writer's block. He meets a woman who he's a young, unknown author, and he basically takes her work as his own. This woman later is found, her body is found at the bottom of the building. She jumped off, she committed suicide. Another woman who looks very similar to her comes and presents herself as her sister and tries to, try to solve the mystery of why she killed herself. But then it just becomes this layer upon layer of lies and deceit. And it's kind of, read the two together because they have a lot of common themes. It's really elegantly drawn. It is also very much for grown-ups. It's a classic murder mystery in a lot of ways, but as well as a psychological drama. All right. Best continuing manga series for grown-ups, Children of the Sea.
Children of the Sea is fantastic. It actually came to a conclusion finally, just like a month ago, I guess.
Volume 5 is
the final one. And actually, there's a really gorgeous art book that came out in Japan that we're not going to get. It's worth it. It's gorgeous. Children of the Sea is really unique because the storytelling style starts off with a really strong narrative mystery. Like, this is a crazy thing that's happening. What's going to happen next? And what's going to happen next? And it really sucks you in, and each chapter ends on a cliffhanger, and you got to read the next chapter, and the individual volumes are really thick, so you get a really good chunk of story every time. And then as the series goes, and as the character that is the lead character, the girl on the cover, sort of grows and learns things, the mystery becomes less important to her more than simply the existence within the story, and the whole narrative structure changes to where, towards the end of the book, he almost stops telling the story completely and just goes into these lovely two-page spreads of underwater, like, sea animals for like 40 pages, and you're just like, what is he doing? And then it finally like snaps back in the last volume and goes, all right, you want to know the story, let's see how the story ends. But it's all done in the narrative. It is unlike anything else out there, and kudos to Viz for publishing it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I love Koro Mori. I don't read anything by her. She previously did the Maid manga, Emma, and Bride Story is more recent and has just spectacular artwork. Her art has improved by leaps and bounds the time she's been drawing. If you haven't read it, it's set in, she specializes in doing historical manga. And this one is set in the 19th century on like the Mongolian steppe country, and deals with nomadic tribes in Central Asia. So the basic premise is that this young woman is sold as a bride into another tribe. The tribe she comes from is sort of more nomadic, and the tribe she comes into as a bride is more settled. But it turns out the guy she's been betrothed to is like 12 years old, or 10, I forget. But he's obviously too young for anything sort of hanky-panky at this point, but she's still his wife in the sense that her job is to, you know, be part of his household and take care of him and stuff. And so she comes from a more nomadic tribe. She does a lot of the hunting and rides around on horseback, being awesome. But most of the manga is just dedicated to just these incredibly detailed depictions of 19th century Central Asian steppe life, and this is the only time you're ever going to see this in a manga, as far as I know. But it's gorgeously drawn, gorgeously written.
Yeah. I'm picking up, sorry. All right, next one, Hermé Romé. Hermé Romé, it's a really strange... If you like bathrooms, this is the manga for you. I'm weirdly fascinated by the bathrooms in this. So it's about an architect in ancient Rome who is a designer of baths, as they were in ancient Rome, which would be communal, or like you have to be one in your house. And he, at the beginning of the book, he's like lacking inspiration. He actually inspired from his job. And he goes to the baths to relax, and he gets somehow sucked down into a vortex and brought into modern Japan. He doesn't understand anything that he's seen. All the Japanese are like, what's with this guy? And he takes the technology that he finds in Japan, like bottles of chilled fruit flavored milk, baskets for your clothes and towels and stuff like that, and brings it back to ancient Rome, reconstructs it, and becomes a famous and sought-after architect. The art is, you know, you have to say, it's not typical manga style. It really is unusual, a bit reminiscent of like a 19th century engraving of ancient Rome. But what's absolutely fascinating is like the incredible detail of the bathrooms that he showed. You never realized there were so many different kinds of bathrooms and so many different things going on in them. Yes, has done it as two large size deluxe volumes. I don't know, are there any more coming out?
Yes.
Oh, good. How much can you write about bathrooms?
But a lot.
I look forward to finding out. And the books are beautifully produced. They're large format. They're expensive, but it is a really good read.
This actually was adapted into a movie that outgrossed the Avengers.
Chew on that, America.
This one's mine.
Yay!
This is one of my... No one smokes cigarettes or shoots people, but, like, swords and, you know, that sort of thing are basically the same thing to me. I like Vagabond because it's about Musashi growing up, but instead of it just being him fighting people and getting stronger, he gets smarter, and that's the important part. Like, he's always going to win every fight. He's the greatest swordsman ever. But he goes from being a jerk, like, basically just a savage, to being an enlightened man. And... like, if you're having trouble in your life, or, like, you know, I get depressed sometimes, like, I feel really bad. A lot of things in Vagabond are about understanding yourself, understanding your creativity, and putting it to the best use you can, because basically using your skills, whether it's, you know, your skill with the sword or your skill with words, is what makes you feel good inside. It's like your purpose. And Vagabond does a fantastic job of doing that, but without being, like, you know, sitting you down and saying, hey, I've got some advice, kid. Listen to me. You know, it's just, you just see him living his life, and he'll say something, he's like, oh, you know, there's no such thing as being invincible under the sun. It's a myth. You can never be the best. You just have to be the best that you can be. And I really appreciate him for that point.
This manga is a stone-cold classic, and actually, I recommend anything by Inoue too. He's an awesome manga artist.
He's done three different basketball manga, and they're all good.
His real passion is basketball. He like single-handedly popularized basketball in the U.S., but this is his labor of love. But I really
from the U.S. to Japan.
Yeah.
From the U.S. to Japan.
Yeah. Popularized basketball.
If you've not seen Oku, it's a pretty amazing book. Imagine the era of the samurai when all the men, like three quarters of the men, die of the plague. So what does Japan do? The shogun becomes woman. It becomes a matriarch. It becomes this interesting meditation on gender roles in Japan. So the shogun then has like a harem of hand-picked men who become very conniving and very political, I guess. It's a pretty intense manga that goes through several generations of shogun. It's right now, I think, up. This is volume 7, it's out now. Volume 8 is coming out in the fall. I encourage you to check it out. Okay, this is what everyone's waiting for. The worst manga for anyone, any age. And this one, next one, I can't wait to hit the next one. Bam!
I honestly thought you guys were going to boo me for this one, but when we started, like, I loved it. It was a great idea. The Soul Society was super cool. You know, the Captains of the Guard, all those guys. And, then it just kept going. And and now, like, there's plot twists, like, people are revealing new parents and powers. And it's like a bad X-Men comic now. And it's the worst for me because it went from being really good and to being really bad, but Kubo still draws the best title pages in comics. So, like, I still flip through it just to see, like, how he designs the title page, which is weird but really good and also kind of pathetic. Kind of like Bleach. If Deb had put a panel of anyone's face on the screen, you would understand why. Just because the art, like, the story is so interesting, but the art is so bad.
I can't explain.
The art is also really arresting, though, because these giants just pick people up and shove them in their mouths like french fries. It's amazing to watch.
Like, look at that guy's chin.
Yeah.
Alright, Steven loves spell. Volume 1 of this manga. So if it gets better, I apologize to everybody at this. But this manga was so indie and at the same time so stereotypical that I just couldn't take it. The basic plot is there's a girl, a high school girl, and she is like a shrine maiden, but she's really bad at it. She can't make her magic work at all, and she's also not very smart. So, and then they're in high school, and there's this boy, and he's like with all the girls, and that bothers her. Her friend comes in and he goes, oh, he must be possessed by a demon because he's cheating on me. So her shrine maiden takes that seriously, runs out, casts a spell on Lothario, and for once she gets it right, and turns him into a cute little kind of a chibi doll. It turns out he actually is a powerful demon, and now she's bound him into a chibi doll spirit, and now like the yokai come and attack her, and the only way that he can have his strength in order to help her fight the yokai, because remember she's incompetent, she has to put him into her bosom, keep her skin at all times.
Doesn't like him at all.
Not in any I had to buy this manga because I don't get review copies for this one, and I hated myself. I jump in. Okay. So much emotion. So much, where the hell is this going? I know this is going to be embarrassing, people are going to hate me for it, but I did not like the art at all. I thought it was flat, and a lot of times the anatomy was just not there. Oh yeah, people have the freaking attack. It's not as bad as Attack on Titan, but there are times when the anatomy just isn't there. And the characters to me were not that likable. There's nobody, I have to have somebody I can sympathize with. How did I get it stuck between the one dead? You're the one who put it on the list. No, you didn't. No. Mine was Demon Lovers. I had to read Demon Lovers.
Oh, no, you gave me alternates.
I'll back Bridget up here. Drunken Dream was much better. Drunken Dream was much, much better.
I liked Heart of Thomas. I'm with
you. Yeah, I like Heart of Thomas, but I don't like this. Well, let me
explain something. The weak screaming. We are the constant weak screaming in Heart of Thomas.
Don't believe a thing.
Okay, I'm going to read it for three. We have to go really fast.
It's the best. No comic is as funny as Dr. Slump. The end.
Oh, it's like Oishibo run from Shonen Jump. It's about a gourmet hunter who goes off and finds all these elaborate animals and slays them and eats them. But it's incredibly imaginative and really funny. And if you're not reading it, you're really missing
the train. You know, pretty much any food bad manga is awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, sure, this is me. If you guys are short on hardcore gay porn, this is the best one. It is not for everybody.
It is very,
a lot of things are pierced.
I guess.
Things that shouldn't be pierced, especially against people's will. But the rendering is really good. It's an amazing. Sorry, unlike Attack on Titan, he can draw a whole body, a whole person. Next year we'll be like, really? Bloodline was on the underrated list? but it'll blow up soon.
It's well done. Okay, most anticipated new manga. Woo! Starting on 2014, please. Jump in. I think David Ishida picked this one.
You, go for it.
Gosh, me?
Yeah.
All right. Oh my gosh. Okay, I have to say that I don't read Scamlations online. This is the only manga I've ever actually read in Scamlations because it was so damn good that I had to do it. And now it's actually coming out
in a beautiful edition.
In a gorgeous edition from Fantagraphics. Inio Asano is a great artist. She just published a couple of her earlier manga, one of her, which is two volume short story collection, One Wonderful World, and
Solanine,
which is a great old slice of life. Actually, Solanine she did after.
Solanine is devastating if you're like 25, 26.
Gorgeous, yeah. Inio Holographic is basically like a, I would say it's if you like Donnie Darko, but you would like to be better, then you should read our holograph because it's like that.
Alright, put on your pull list. New Loma Cup.
What?
If you've ever wondered what happened at the end of Loma Cup to Daigoro, this is going to explain. I'm dying to find out what happens next. This is another artist. Koseki Kojima died by the time Kazuo Koike decided to pick this up again. It looks amazing. I don't know that much about it, but it looks amazing. Look for it next year.
They just announced it just a month ago, yeah, I think. So yeah.
Speaking of
Mizuki. Showa. It's basically the history of Japan, 1926 to 1939. It's actually 8 volumes in Japan, and Jurana Quarterly is releasing them as 4 double volumes here. And it's Shigeru Mizuki of Kitaro and of Non Non Ba and of Onwards Towards a Noble Death, which one of the Eisner was the sort of the war/anti-war, I guess, manga that came out last year, telling the history of Japan, its historical nonfiction, but it's narrated by the sort of half-cat yokai from Kitaro, which is a thing. It's kind of like reading Buddha, and every once in a while the characters turn to the camera and wink at you. It's really good. It's a phenomenal work. It's one of the ones that I would see in Japan and die that I could never read it, and I just assumed that you would never get a piece of historical fiction or historical nonfiction about Japanese society. Turns out you are, and it's going to show the whole build-up to the war, and it's going to be phenomenal. And then it's going to keep going until about, I think it's the late 80s, right, 89? Wow. So if you are a Japanese culture enthusiast, don't miss this one.
Mizuki did a lot of great manga about, historical manga about World War II, which he served in, and he has like an amazing, weird, his war story is amazing. You should look up online.
That's weird. I only know about this series because of the Yaoi Dojinshi.
That's how I know about it, too. Last time I went to Japan, there was a whole section with Dojinshi, these characters. Apparently it's about Aladdin. I don't know that much about it. It looks pretty fun. Coming out next month. It's a direction by Moyoko Ono.
Wow.
Yay.
Yeah, this was just announced. Moyoko Ono is one of my favorite manga. I really like everything she does. This is about her husband, this is director of
Evangelion,
and this is about their life together.
That guy's crazy. This is going to be a great manga. Doraemon's coming out.
Go get it. So I need digital only output posting on Amazon. Most wanted, not yet published. Kino Nani Kamika.
Yay!
Two men talk about what? Food.
Yeah!
Gay food.
Silver
spoon. By the creative Full Metal Alchemist. It's set in an agricultural academy. I really, really thought that this was going to announce this today, and I'm so disappointed they didn't. The anime is now available on Crunchyroll. It is hilarious.
It's based on our own life growing up on a dairy farm.
It's like, seriously, there's no Otomo coming?
Yeah, it's like 8 pages long, but it's I want it, like, so badly.
So good.
Okay, yeah, so basically, every time I have this panel, I recommend, my wanted manga is Adagol by Hiroshi Masamura, but I thought people would get tired of that, so I picked a completely different cat-oriented manga. Yui Hiroshi was one of the classic shoujo manga artists. She's part of the Year 24 group, and she did this crazy, mostly autobiographical manga about her cats. The great thing, there's a couple of great things. One of the great things.
Okay.
That one.
Oh!
Yeah! I love this manga so much. I'm so addicted to it. Please watch the anime. It's really wonderful. It'll never be licensed in America because it's so Japanese. But please watch the anime because you will fall in love too. Thank you so much. The list will be on my site. We'll also be on ANN. Please go out and buy these books. They are wonderful. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys.